Welcome to the Startups Middle East podcast. I'm your host, Evrim, and I interview startup founders and people relevant to startups all around the Middle East. In this episode, I'm interviewing Abdulaziz Aljouf. Abdulaziz is a seasoned entrepreneur, mostly known for his current company, PayTabs, his eighth venture. PayTabs is an online payment company that is backed by Saudi Aramco's Wyatt Ventures and has raised around $27 million to date, making them one of the top-funded startups in the Middle East. Here's the interview. Abdulaziz, hi. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
So we'll talk about PayTabs, but before that, could you tell us a little bit about your background? You had other startups, other companies before PayTabs. What did you do? What were you doing before PayTabs?
Well, I started a couple of companies, and most of them is really around the e-business or e-commerce ecosystem. So I started a company called SaleTab, which dedicated for selling phones and tablets, bags, and other stuff. And started a logistic company again, which is really around delivering and helping startups to deliver items, and started other projects in state, in Saudi, Hong Kong, but all of them is around really a platform where people, let's say, online catalog where people can access and order and or purchase and equipment or items will be delivered to them.
Mm. So were you always interested in entrepreneurship? Did you, like, as a kid, did you want to start your company one day? How did you get into it?
Well, I think you heard me that day. I never knew the word entrepreneurs until recently. So I think what really drove me was starting something or solving a problem more than starting a company. So even with PayTab, the last one is really about solving something, not just starting a company.
All right. So how about PayTabs? Where did the idea come from, and what was it starting the company? And this was your, how many companies did you start before PayTabs?
I think I started like seven. PayTabs, eight.
Okay. So where did the idea come from? Why start something in the, like, financial industry is very difficult. A lot of regulations and the risk is huge with, you know, fraud and everything. How did you decide to go with this idea?
I think I told you I always run e-business, and one of the things I kind of got really bothered about is payment. I mean, there are always problems with every company I created. Payment was kind of the tough thing to get, and banks were controlling this money so bad. And I always was trying to get payments for one of those companies, and it took 6 months to a year. I mean, 3 months to 6 months just to manage to get to the bank, know what they need, and fill their requirement, and a year, I mean, to start your first transaction. Mm-hmm. So it was really a painful process you have to follow, and a lot of, I would say, hugging and kissing for bankers to approve you or accept your application. And one day, I think I was... So I had the idea with me for since 2010, end of the year. And when I... This is where I start kind of to think about it, that why nobody started such company. So Stripe was not there. None of the new fintech company exists at the time. I mean, and if they exist, they are more kind of small companies sitting in the United States and Europe. And in 2000, I think 13 beginning, I started around this time, January. I start kind of developing something internally. I hired one engineer. I start to build something around this. And by end of, I think, the year, I was talking to someone. I don't know. It's, I mean, he was, he got interested when I was talking, and he pulled me to Starbucks and he said, explain to me this payment thing you want to build. And that meeting took 4 hours, 5 hours. And I discovered next day that he is part of Saudi Aramco fund. And so, yeah, I mean, this is where it started. It was a napkin idea and a piece of napkin. And I remember in a month time, they came to me and say, we want to fund you. So, and even the fund thing was a new thing to me, because I used to, all those started by build, I built them out of my own money or friends or family. So,
this was the first time you got outside investment.
I got, let's say, professional investors sitting in front of me. And it took off from there. I mean, I raised funds from them. I started the company. I remember in 2013, took me a year until December to build a real platform for PayTabs. I started to hire people, and December 1st, we hit our first transaction around that time. And even the system was not really that, I mean, sophisticated technology, but I was really amazed and surprised by the amount of requests we got at the time. And I remember, this is first time to say, I remember we were hard coding every merchant coming to us. We have no API, we have nothing in hand. I mean, just the platform that connected to the bank. So it took the bank also a lot of, it took me a lot of effort with my team to get the bank convinced, I mean, this is going to be something. And it was a history after. I mean, we moved, I remember in December, we got around like 300 requests at the time, in one month time. And I used to go home thinking at night, I was like, is this thing going to be big? I mean, with all those requests, all those transactions. And I remember in a month time, we processed around $500,000.
That's so, right. Yeah.
So this is, was like, for me, like, wow, this is something I have really to put a lot of effort in it.
Yeah, definitely. So you are one of the people who raised the most amount of money in the Middle East. I think you raised upwards of $20 million. Is that correct? In investments?
And when around, yes. The total we raised was around 27.
$27 million. So, first of all, what do you think of the investment opportunities in the Middle East? How difficult was it for you? And what stage do you think someone should look for outside money?
I think when you start really to, I mean, it really depends on the business and depends on the appetite and depends on the idea. But I think one of the challenge, I would say, I mean, for entrepreneurs is going to approach direct investors. And second is, I mean, investors nowadays change, right? It's not like 2013. I mean, and I would say when you really got a product, then you should really go out to the market. I'm mentoring a couple of startups. And I'm attending a couple of pitching sessions. And one thing that really surprised me is entrepreneurs, they ask for too much money that investors will never put this money. I mean, you just got a product and you're asking for $5 million or $3 million. I mean, investors will never put money in this. I mean, even if it's the new gold product. So
how do you value the company so you know you can tell the investor that I want this much money and it will be worth that? How do you convince them and how do you value your own company?
You know, I mean, Paytop's been valued by Wired, so I think you really should push the investors to value the company, not you. Because us as entrepreneurs, it's our product, right? And we'll always price it high. And I really get disappointed by a lot of entrepreneurs who say, oh, my idea is worth, my product worth $10 million, $15 million, or $10 million, $9 or $5. I mean, I think we have to be realistic where we, and how to value the company and how investors see our company. I'm not saying to accept whatever investors said, but if you got an investor who's really serious and he wants to put money, I think you should really give it a very deep thought and consideration and not to be greedy. Greediness will not take you anywhere in this industry.
Hey there, it's Ivram again. I hope you're enjoying the interview. Before we continue, though, I have a quick announcement to make. I'm the founder of a startup called Automated Hotel, and we're working on redefining the guest experience in the hospitality industry. The guest experience is still very traditional in hotel rooms, print menus and marketing materials, phone calls for requests. We're developing in-room tablets that allow hotel guests to manage their stay and request services from the hotel while helping the hotel collect insightful guest data and save staff time. No matter where you're listening to this from, if you're a software developer with experience in React Native or Ruby on Rails, or if you're an investor interested in investing in an opportunity like this, or if you're just interested in the idea and would like to connect with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with me at evrim@automatedhotel.com. It's E-V-R-I-M @automatedhotel.com. Or by sending a message through the contact form on startupsmiddleeast.com. All right, back to the interview. So you said that you, when you were first starting the company, you were wondering why someone hadn't done it yet. So you've been doing it for a while now. You must know, and you don't have that many competitors, so you must know why people don't want to get into that. So what were your biggest challenges throughout the history of the company?
Tough. I mean, it's seriously tough. I mean, I'm sure you can do my pictures. I mean, you will lose your hair and mine chasing banks to because today banks for us is kind of a supplier, right, or a vendor, and as you said in the beginning, that the financial industry is very regulated and very tough because banks have been doing the same thing for the last 20, 30 years. So I forgot your question. Yeah, how tough?
Biggest challenges, yeah, you have.
So, yeah, it's really banks. I mean, you really need to work with banks. We are not a financial institute, right? So bank has to... I mean, now, as you said, I've been doing it for some time. Bank is not easy. I mean, to work with, really not easy. I mean, there are a lot of regulation. There are a lot of, I mean, process conditions and that will either kill you or will take you forever to do. So, yeah, I think bank is going to be the main thing. Okay.
Regulations and, you know, dealing with banks.
Yeah. Second is investment. I mean, Aramco investment put the money, but also, I mean, it was a tough deal. I mean, they did not just hand you the money next day. I mean, it took me a year, 13 months to get the first investment.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So but do you mean the initial funding after you jotted it down on a napkin?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, 13
well,
months.
Well, you know, this is 14 months.
Wow. Okay. Okay. And can you disclose how much that was?
It was around $2.5 million.
Okay. Okay. And what stage were you in at that time?
Oh, it was product and we start to process.
All right. You were already working. You already had an MVP.
And I think this is answer the first question you asked, when you can go. I really say, I mean, go to investors where you're going to have product and you start to see transaction. I think times change now. I see investors more linear to put money in an idea. Sorry, in a product, not an idea. So, and even now there are seed investors where even with idea, they will put money. So, yeah.
I guess it also depends on the founders too, like how much experience they have.
Yeah, of course. I mean, exactly. With all the other aspects of understanding what you want and understanding what the investor are going to be looking for.
So how about the ecosystem in the Middle East, or, you know, if you want to talk specifically in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, how do you think it's growing? What do you think is good here? What's better than more established ecosystems? And what do you think is not so good yet?
I think everything is good. It's just how to approach. I mean, the market, the ecosystem, I mean, changed massively in the last few years. I mean, everyone can see this. I mean, investors, you were looking to like 5-6 investors. Today, you can't even count the numbers anymore. Too many investors in the market. And I think it's going to be I think the challenge today is with entrepreneurs, not with the ecosystem. I mean, you only need to get the right idea out, and if you got the right idea, then it's really about the execution. Because as you are aware, I mean, and everyone else, I mean, you can have the perfect idea there, you can have the fund, and all the fund you need, but if the idea is not working, it means it's not working. I mean. And you really need to put a lot of, effort, I would say, and a lot of thoughts into really the execution of that idea. So, and the third one is you need to convince those investors if you're going to go to them, right? I mean, you need to show them that I'm going to make this idea work, or this product work, and this is how much money I'm going to make. However, I mean, we are still not into the stage. Our investors is not into the stage yet where they will invest in non-transactional, I would say, business. I mean, until today, investors still ask, what's your revenue? What's your profit? We're not like US investors or US Silicon Valley, where those investors will invest in very, very crazy idea. I mean, you really have to have solid process where you're going to go and where how you're going to approach.
Yeah, I agree on that. So they're probably thinking about not the potential, but today what in shorter term I would get. Yeah. I definitely agree. So if you were to start your company today, is there anything you would have done differently?
Oh, this is a nice question. I don't think so. I might, change a couple of things, but still the same process has to apply. So, and the same long time and effort need to be spent to make this happen. I mean, especially in payment today. I mean, it's still not easy. If I start today, I have to go to the same. I have to go through the same process to be able to start processing. So this is from our perspective, but I mean, from other businesses, I mean, I would say I will make sure to get more, to raise more fund quickly. So I waited 2 years to raise second round. I think if I would repeat, I will go much faster. Like within 12 months, I will start raising the other round. This is one of the things I think I learned through this couple of years back is really raising fund faster. I mean, it's very crucial to your business. Very, very crucial. Because as PayTab, we've been through a lot of ups and downs because of raising fund.
So what do you think about raising funds? I mean, obviously, if you're raising funds from people who have domain experience in the industry you have started your startup in, it's obviously better. But how important do you think having investors that understand from your business?
Oh, man, this is very, very crucial. I mean, if you're in your fund from non, see, here's the thing, okay? There are a lot of ideas in the market, and I'm not expecting everyone to know the payment, for example. But I think one of the crucial things is you really need to explain your business very well to those people. I mean, when we raised our $20 million, when we raised the fund, we got term sheet for almost $38 million. And I'm going to start to pick who will be my right partner. Because the moment you get bad apple to your shareholder, I mean, you're gonna really gonna go through a lot of headache and problems and issue.
Mm-hmm. So it's very important, is what you're saying, that you should look for someone who understand or explain it well.
Because if you say fintech today, I mean, how many companies will understand? How many investors will understand the fintech?
Yeah. It's growing, but it's very limited. I agree.
Yeah, and then people understand. But the question is, those people understand your industry. Do they have money? And if they have money, are they interested to invest in fintech company?
Definitely. I agree. Yeah.
I still remember I approached one of the investors in Riyadh. And he has 20 years banking experience. And he said, I will never invest in such idea.
And did he give any reason or?
Oh, he said, you will never make it. I mean, this is crazy and you'll never make it.
The good thing is, I guess, you wouldn't want to, as you just said, you wouldn't want to have someone like that invest anyway.
You just have to walk away.
Yeah.
With sadness that someone from the industry don't understand, you just have to pull it out.
Yeah, it's good. You have already found out before. He makes his intentions clear.
Yes.
So I can ask a lot more questions, but I want to be respectful to your time. So I have a couple questions that are more personal.
You still have 6 minutes.
Sorry?
I said you still have 6 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you manage your time? Do you use any tools?
Yeah, very good. You have a very good question, actually.
Thank you.
I log everything, every single thing in my calendar. I just use Google Docs and Task, on my phone. I put every single thing in my head in Google. And second is, I think I have enough. Well, I don't have enough hours in the day, but I alhamdulillah, I managed to accomplish a lot of things in every day. I'm a very, very weird morning person, so I start my day around 4 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
And I usually wake up without an alarm.
Oh, that's great. How many hours do you sleep?
Usually 5 to 6. Okay. So, never sleep more than 6 hours. I started 4 in the morning. I mean, until 8, I mean, this is how many hours? 6, 5, 4? 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, while people still sleep, you really can't accomplish a lot.
Now, I've heard that from a lot of people. Yeah, that's very interesting advice. So, another question. What are you not very, very good at? What would you like to improve?
I'm trying to improve in a lot of areas. I mean, I'm not a finance guy, right? I'm a tech. I'm an IT engineer. So I've been taking a lot of courses in finance, understanding that all those jargons for finance people. I hate lawyers. I think they're very close to me. I have 4 or 5 lawyers around me now. So, yeah, I mean, legals, also trying to understand really a lot of legals and jargons. And I would say regulation. I mean, you really have to respect the law and trying to understand, the regulators and the regulation. And, I mean, you need to think how you're going to work around this. And what else? I think those are the two main things.
All right. So thank you so much for all the answers. We're almost at the end of the allocated time. So just before we close it down, how can people find you on the internet?
LinkedIn
is the best place. All right. I'll just put a link to your LinkedIn account on the show notes. All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Baron. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the Startups Middle East podcast. You can see the show notes and find out more about the podcast at startupsmiddleeast.com. If you like this episode, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on iTunes. Until next time.